I didn't agree to this.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Homeschool, the podcast where Andrew Rivers and I get behind the G-string. Wait, wrong podcast. Where Andrew Rivers and I did an interview, a guest comedian. But today, he's on the road.
Yeah, we're just bragging about Corey's upcoming sold-out theater show. And
Andrew's college at Longwood, or what's it called? Longwood University?
They named the school after me.
Did I get it right?
Yeah, Longwood University.
Oh, okay, I thought I was making a joke.
In Farmville.
In Farmville, this is insane.
Farmville, Virginia.
If you listen to the podcast, there's usually jokes at the beginning with the guest. But today we're just gonna BS a little bit. It might be
hard for us to coordinate schedules for the next week or two. So we wanted to at least let you hear the sound of our voices.
Yeah. We don't want to lose all 40 listeners and by taking a week off. But first, a 3 second.
We're up to 40.
One, two, three, four, five. All right. Here we go. Bring. Yeah, we started to talk, and then you can't waste all the good content.
I can't believe I've sold 700 tickets for this show. I mean, hang on, let me get this on the record, and in case the tax man comes for me again.
$1.
You're sending me paperwork now. What the fuck? I thought we were friends. We hide bodies and taxes, but.
Well, I got anything you pay. So the rule is, if you pay someone $600 or more in a calendar year, you gotta make them fill out a W-9.
Well, I gotta make some phone calls to a couple women, but
oh boy, I need to send some W-9s to some two.
I'm back.
He's back. That wasn't a bad joke, but they're
every time big- you- tell a bad joke, I'll pretend to freeze, and then
theater show tomorrow. And actually, theater show 3 nights ago, if you're listening, and it was sold out. That's what we'll say. It was sold out. I sold out, and called Brad up in this morning because here was our deal. It was a virtual handshake. I go, hey, you do the show, we'll make a bunch of money, and he's like, sure.
Yeah.
And, I had in my mind how to do that fairly and appropriately and properly, and then I had some influence from people who book comedy shows that were like, take your money and run,
take all the money, you did all the work, he's nothing without you're scum, he's
trash,
freeballing, freewheeling,
it was a farce, they were all 1 second views, and yeah. I was like, I'm going to go somewhere.
Well, and even when you get hate mail, you still convince those people to buy tickets. So, I mean.
Evidently, yeah. That guy that was so mad, he's going to come tonight, and we'll see how that turns out. But we're going to get in a fight, apparently. But he's going to let me beat him up. I didn't understand that part. But yeah, I told him the number after. He almost shit himself. I told him the number after expenses and splitting it 50-50. And he goes, what the what? And I go, well, I mean, yeah, that's what's what it is. And he's like, well, how total, right? And I go, no, each. And he's like, what? And he's like,
I think that's because we made so few dollars at the Kirkland show, you know, that got cut in half at the last second.
That's true.
Kirkland. So he's probably like, oh, $300 gig, you know.
Our gig, yeah. And I go, well, I mean, you're my buddy and you're my friend, and I'm not gonna, you know, and I said in the future, I need to probably maybe adjust it a little bit. And he's like, well, you're not.
What does Johnny Mathis pay him? You know what I mean? Like, he's getting good money.
Yeah, he's like,
a couple kids through college, and
but in one night, I think he goes, you know, I'm just used to bookers being like, all right, I'm taking 90%, here's your 10%, see you later, buddy.
10% of that's a pretty good deal, you know.
I mean, he'd still be making a decent amount if it was just 10%, but not enough for him,
right? But,
anyhow, I just kind of go, well, look, I he's like, well, you're not, he's like, make the change now that you think you need to make in the future. And I was like, no, we're good. We're good. And I just, after the conversation, I added a few expenses that I probably wasn't going to add. Because I was like, well, you know.
You could time spent responding to hate mail and time and set, you know, you could log a few hours of project manager work in there, you know.
I guess I could. I didn't do that. But, you know, I go, hey, like, well, I woke up this morning to a lady that was like, you need to respond faster to emails. And I need, my sister is deaf and she needs an ASL interpreter. And you didn't tell me. And so we can't plan our night. And now we're fucked. And I was like, I'm the perfect person to respond to that. I took sign language in college. I know deaf culture. I'm on board. You never emailed me. So she hasn't replied yet, but she must have emailed the theater or some, who knows.
Tell her she needs to respond quicker and that.
So I gave her money back and told her she can come to the March show with a discount and the whole thing. I just gave her a discount code, deaf lady, and we'll see.
What's it'd be funny if there was like a sign language coordinated, you know, kind of a
right
like anyway.
Well, they're expensive. They're like a couple hundred dollars.
Five finger discount is what you gave her.
This is your good.
There you go. There's your discount right there, baby. I'm gonna babysit your kids.
It's gonna be a great night. A lot of shit going on, but it's fun to, you know, whatever. And you're in Farmville. Indiana, Ohio,
Virginia. Yeah. I was flying into DC as like a war is happening, and I'm like, let's hope they don't nuke this place for a couple hours. There's actually if you Google this thing called Nuke Map, there is a this guy made a simulator. You can drop a nuclear bomb on any city and see how far it will kill you from. So that's fun. yeah. So I was like, okay, if they drop this bomb, I'm good. But if it's that bomb, I'm fucked. So I don't know what the difference is.
You're like, oh my gosh, you're like Louis C.K. here. Just
Performing in war zones, you know?
Performing in war zones.
I was heading up to Vermont here to visit my dad and my family, and my brother's coming up. And I had like a light march. So I was like, I'll just kick back, relax, get some free food. And but now I might have to go back to LA for a Just for Laughs audition, which is a comedy festival that used to be important and could still be important. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
And so those things are always fun, you know.
Yeah,
picking out a set list and then, you know, you're on a lineup with nine people that are all usually really great. And so how do you stand out from all that, you know?
Yeah, it is interesting. And then when is it just for that? Did you look? Is it July this year? When is it this year?
It's July every year, I think. Think, but yeah,
pandemic, who the fuck knows, you know.
I don't even remember anything
just for last, because they do like look now they do different, each province has their own too, and then there's the big one that's in Montreal, so Montreal,
right,
is in French. I don't know, who knows, but okay,
founded July 14th, so maybe that's what it is every year, I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter. I won't get invited, so not worth talking about. But
lock your calendar out for the whole year. It's the
I did plan like a set. I started thinking about a 5-minute set, and the rule is always overthink it and debate it 100 times. So I figured that is what it would be fun to do, because I think about like what are the best jokes for the optimal audience? And then I'm like, the My Pillow joke is a huge applause break when it gets the right crowd. And when the people don't even get it, they just stare in silence. And so, but it also feels like white noise machine. Bah. And so when it doesn't get anything, I'm like, I'm an idiot. All right, cool. Yeah. I think I did Augie's.
Yeah, in the last show. Stick it to last show. And then,
so, yeah.
I mean, I think it's smart. So you kind of got to do that. But Oh, hiking shirt, Taco Bell. Well,
so
what
the
do
Taco
you?
Bell commercial is like a that could be like a personal, that's not like a dating story, that's not like, because I also think like, I mean, that sexy librarian joke is by far everyone's favorite joke. I think that at least feedback of, you know, people that hire me and people that have seen, you know,
right,
they always go, oh, that one always gets me. And so,
right.
But I also go like, I have also told that joke probably in the last three auditions I've done. So I think also
yeah,
like
kind of went away and then came back. And now if there's a spot for it, that's perfect. So it's in the.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it disappeared. And then, you know, little things that bridge jokes from the transitionary, you know.
Of course. Yeah.
But anyway, so I figured LaCroix, unemployment, I mean, steady openers.
Yeah.
I get to be a little goofy, like, it's just the first joke, saver lines. But I also think like a vaccine joke is like, you know, the punchlines are also like political and they're like, is this joke going to work in Canada even? Is this joke going to work? Are people going to still be doing vaccine jokes in a year and a half? Or, you know.
Well, that's the curiosity of like, are you doing what's your best right now? And they're going to trust you just to do well when it comes time? Or are you going, this is exactly what I'm going to do when it comes time? Like, I don't.
I mean, that old set, like the pre-pandemic set of like, that 40 minutes, you know, get, well, 30 minutes and give or take 15 at the end that was rotating. But like, that shit worked so like just flawlessly. Well, I was in headlining in Alabama. I was whatever, you know, I didn't have to worry. Like,
sure.
You know, one of the fun stories maybe we didn't cover of the South was Mississippi. And I made some detours in the show and kept it safer. And
As I'm
bringing you up, you go, good choices, good job, good choices, good job. And we all laughed a little bit, but
I saw the front row as well. Yeah.
And the thin blue line jacket walking in. And
oh, that's right.
Yeah.
As we were talking about it, I was like,
yeah.
There he is.
Yeah. So that was sort of like, you know, I never had to think about that. I never had to do that. But then everyone else made everything political. So, you know, medicine shouldn't be necessarily political, but here we are, you know.
Well, somebody the other day saw a post that they had. What happened? Did they get a tetanus shot?
Oh, geez. Is that, are we fighting over a tetanus shot now?
Well, I just thought it was so funny that like, zero people are going to question them on that. And
I thought it'd be like, how dare you? This is a microchip. This is whatever.
Well, I mean, and that's shouldn't there be if they're going to quit, you know, but I guess not because it's just so new. Oh yeah. 2 years in. And
I understand like the argument, like the meme argument is like, well, we're just asking questions. And it's like, well, no, you're not really asking. You're making declarative statements that.
Right. Pose that this is questions.
As opposed to asking questions and being like, what if we, maybe if we waited 5 weeks instead of 3 weeks for the second shots, would that reduce the myocarditis risk, which is what my doctor was saying a year ago and what the CDC just said today? You know, they're like, hey, maybe if we wait a little while in between. But with, this is going to get into a science podcast, but they wanted to speed up the second shot because then the trial is over quicker and it's an emergency and get everybody shots as soon as you can. So, you know,
well,
whatever. But
the answers never result in with like, oh, okay. That's cool. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're never convincing them of like, yeah.
Well, I still don't know.
No, whatever.
Anyway. Yeah. So, but hiking, that's gonna be evergreen.
Hey, yeah, and it seems to work. I mean, it seemed to be, you know, even with the tougher South crowds, I thought it was still getting a good reaction. And but again, I don't think I can go in going, what should I do that's safe? I think I should think of, if I have the best audience possible, comedy advice is like never play to the back of the room. But in this case, I'm almost like, nah, I think I should play to the back of the room. Maybe not fully, but like I should also kill for the crowd, but I should also try to reach the highest intelligence and the highest, hopefully, comedy savvy, or just Jeff Singer Mike Cock or whatever, but he's not in charge of anything anymore. But no, you know, no. I blew him for nothing, and then
did he take the hat off or did he leave it on?
Well, he peeled my hat back. All right.
Jimmy hat. I don't know. I mean, my last experience with this was right before the pandemic, and it was audition for a cruise ship. And it was just, so I don't think this informs you, but I'm interested in, like, it was at Hollywood Improv. The woman who was running the agency that's connected to the cruise line filled the room on an off night, like a Tuesday night or something, Wednesday night. So just all her like 25-year-old friends in a room watching an audition for a cruise ship and
that's not the audience you're gonna play to on a cruise ship. Yeah.
No. So like doing well in the room was
the toilets spin the other way. They're like, what the fuck? Yeah. I don't know. You're like, take this shit that kills on a cruise ship and
right. And so Andy Woodhull did well because he's got good jokes and he moved along. And I did well, I think in part because I called out I was like, oh, we're auditioning for a cruise ship. And look around the room. These are people who love cruises. I think I might have even said something like, you guys love swingers cruises like that.
I'll go on that cruise ship. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But book me. I'll and then I did jokes and they were just okay. And they were whatever. But I mean, the whole time I'm watching everybody kind of bomb, but not bomb because they were doing anything wrong. Cause they're like, we got to be clean in the audition.
Yeah.
The room couldn't care less about us being clean.
No.
And it's an off night and everybody's here for free. And
yeah,
nobody went like, this is a cruise ship audition. Here's your host, you know? And so I went up and I was like, you guys know why you're here? That's I was like, you know what's happening right now? We're auditioning to be on a cruise. All right. So this is the perfect audience, or and they're like, oh, okay, that's what's happening. That's what I'm talking about.
They're like, why is every comedian clean morning. And talk about his wife and fucking? Yeah. Yeah.
So that doesn't really inform you, but I also did I had the same thought when I did the Tacoma Just for Laughs thing. I was thinking Canada, and I was like, well, Singer, I guess, is he Canadian? I guess he's Canadian, but lived in LA, and I don't know that he was like. You know, I think at the time I might have done I might have on that audition done the you can ex-wife, you can steal all their discounts joke. And then I was like, is that even, do I have to say petrol? Like, what am I, do I like?
Oh, I bought 7 liters of gasoline.
No, petrol. And they're like, but the audience would have been like, fuck.
Yeah. And, you ever stop at a Boston Pizza and get a moose knuckle? And
I guess, again, I mean, LaCroix and Taco Bell, those are, you're not, does that matter? Does TV would matter? You might not be able to say LaCroix and Taco Bell.
Right. But also, like,
that's your bet. That's the jokes. That's the
flavored soda water. I don't think that's the punchline, you know?
Right. Yeah. No. But like, I think I'd like to think you could go and do a set and they would go, okay, he's great. We'll have him on. We can work with him.
We can whatever. We can.
Later on, we'll figure out the details.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's what I wish it would be like.
It's not going to be a thing in 7 months, but that's okay.
Because I've sent in a few tapes for like late night after I crushed a Tonight Show thing in 2019. I've sent in a few tapes now and I just want to be like, can you just look at it and tell me no? Or like, can you just like, because I'm building this out of my imagination.
Right.
But if you tell me no, like I sent it to the AGT lady and she's like, can't do brand names, no ex-girlfriend jokes, no coronavirus jokes. And I was like, great, that's none of what I do. So I'm not even going to send you a new video, you know?
Right.
But you just don't hear back, and you, and then you're supposed to make adjustments every year.
Oh,
and
I must not have liked it. And they're like, oh, I never watched it actually. And you're like, well, right. That doesn't give me something else, you know?
Right.
Yeah, totally.
But
you have,
it seems to work as a 5 minutes. And it's, I mean, the only other joke that I want in there is like, if that ass is round, the earth could be flat. Like that's a new one that, you know, feedback is great on. Like the Taylor Swift stuff, but then I would have to like get rid of LaCroix and unemployment and just go, I went through a breakup, but like open on those old jokes, which is fine. But yeah. I'm also like, I think these jokes are better, and that's why I wrote them sooner. And I, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
those are the two areas I'm, you know,
just from a forget the audition standpoint, why? Why the saber line of, is it just to get a laugh or is it because you think it's corny, you know, a little corny?
When I first started doing the, I think we did it. We talked about it on the podcast prior to taping the show, the special, that I was like, I don't know if I can open on this joke. It's kind of corny and it's fun. It's funny. I like it. I'm proud of it. But I'm also like a little sheepish to be like, it's kind of silly and stupid, but I could get someone going like a laugh and roll their eyes is how I think I would react in the back of the room going like, all right, you got me. It's funny. And I'm like, it's going to get better. Just, you know, and it transitions into
unemployment.
Look, I've been, sure. My job's illegal. I haven't done anything. I've just been taking free money, blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah. Well, I mean,
and like every audition thing I've done, except for the Tonight Show thing, but like I've done JFL a couple times and it's always, maybe it's me also, but it's felt tight audience wise.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'm nervous and I'm going, oh, fucking don't mess up a word and whatever. But I did my last one February 2020 in LA at the West Side Comedy Theater, which I've never done a good, I've never had a good set there either. I think the room is haunted, but
0-1
0-3, I think. But anyway, I just, you know, it went fine, but I'm up there like, I know these jokes do so much better usually, but so I don't know. I just figure switch things up and
a little,
I mean, I could reach out to my people for help or whatever, but
how did you get the audition through them?
Yeah, they just, my manager emailed me and it was like a forwarded email from someone who knew, which was odd because it was like, see about, you know, your client inserted in the subject line. And I'm like, do they just fill that in? Like, it seems like a weirdly vague, but also specific email. You know, it's like, hi, Andrew, and all bold. And I'm like, okay, are they just copying from a sheet? What's, I don't know. It's very weird, but,
yeah.
And then it's just very simple. Like, hey, are you available for this? And I'm like, I wrote back in 2 minutes. Like, well, I could be in New York, but if that's the only one, I can do that. And then no response 24 hours later still, you know, but that's just the nature of everything. So,
booked a flight. So
yeah. I mean, whatever. It's
I'm driving there, so
it's fine. But anyway, it'll be fun. And I've needed to think about a 5 minute. I think I've needed to think about, you know, a new 5 minute ish set to like showcasing. And I also, the timing of the last one was perfect too, because I just did Seattle Comedy Competition, which is like 3 weeks long. And, you know, so I was doing like high pressure in my mind, you know, very low pressure in the world. But
right.
I was creating stress for my own imagination to prepare for one day this thing. And then and then December, I do the Tonight Show thing. And I'm like, I got this set locked and loaded. I'm ready to go. It went great. And then February, I did the same set for like, you know, JFL and it was like mediocre. And I'm like, I mean, all right. But then everything, who knows what anything means. So it just is a nightmare. That's why we self-produce these shows. And
Brad was like, why don't you do this in every theater in the country or whatever? Not every, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Well,
we're trying.
Unicorncomedy.com. Adam's one step ahead of me, but yes, I would love to. And let's me and you do it. And he's like, well, let's start in Washington. He's like, yeah, the Uptown Theater in Yakima or whatever that was. And I was like, right. I mean, you would sell it out just on name alone, probably. But
Brad's the one who's canceled 7 times on us for that. You know,
that's fair. Well,
but I think once Brad sees that this is an option, you know.
Yeah. What would you close on here?
So we'll do 3 birds. The hiking joke is the way this shakes out. I think LaCroix unemployment's like 45 seconds. The My Pillow joke's probably 40 seconds. Taco Bell is probably 2.5 minutes, and then hiking's probably 40 seconds. So, you know,
what's
I'm not necessarily worried about being 4:59 on the dot, but
sure. What's the final line of hiking?
If it's a polar bear, you say all lives matter. All right. Okay. Hey, don't clap for the wrong reasons. I'm not trying to start a rally sometimes, but you know. But again, is Canada even, I'm sure they, Black Lives Matter is in Canada, but.
LAPD, probably fine. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. Yeah, see, that's all this, it's all this stuff of like, just trust me when it comes time. Yeah, when it comes time, I'll have the jokes that are ready.
Or like, let me send them a 40-minute. You know,
yeah, you tell
when me. When I was gonna be on Bring the Funny, I had like a producer that watched everything I sent him and gave me notes, and he was like, don't do the stripper joke, this is daytime TV, we want to, you know, be respectful or whatever. And I'm like, cool, whatever, this is a woke show and we're doing cool, you know. I'm like, all right,
strippers are woke, but whatever.
I forgot about making eye contact, and they're like, my tits are down here. I should bring that joke back maybe, but
yeah.
Anyway,
well, I think you'd like to think that they, I mean, this is a small version of it, and it's not someone who actually had any control over anything. But when I was doing the college stuff, the buddy I met, who's a booker and been doing college agent for years and years, was like, we got along, we golfed, we had beers, and then he saw me do comedy. That's not true. He saw me at a festival, and then he saw me do comedy college.
Then we stopped hanging out. No, I'm just kidding.
Then he saw me at a college thing, and he's like, no, don't do that stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I'm doing whatever I'm trying to be clean. And he's like,
trying to survive. Yeah.
So I grabbed my dry bar and I literally clipped up all the things that I thought could possibly, and it was like 17 minutes, maybe 19 minutes. And I was like, tell me which 9 minutes to do, I'll do it. And I saw him that night, and he's like, I'm not doing that. I said you were going to. And he's like, nah.
He's like, I didn't think you would clip this stuff out. You know, come on.
He's like, I'm not your agent. And I was like, I know, but you're my buddy. And you said, and he's like, I know, let's have a beer. Just good luck. And I was like, yeah. And ultimately, I think we were both like, you don't want to do college gigs.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, not really. But
yeah,
when you get there, it's so much, it's actually easier to do the gig than it is to do the audition. But whatever, that's a different.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, too, I always psych myself out for these things, and I think I've got a plan. Like, if I open on, I was kind of testing it out during the South stuff too, but I'm like, oh, if I open on, you know, the old 5 minutes plus I got the dry bar comedy joke up there, I can do, you know, like the more stuff I can put before I get to like COVID and vaccines. And but I'm also like, I was also reassured that they're like, wear a mask at all times unless you're performing. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, then maybe it'll be like a super left college, you know, that's that won't laugh at anything Seinfeld says because kids are too woke. But but that made me feel like, well, they'll at least, not be hostile towards my viewpoint, you know.
Yes. It was a two-person show yesterday virtually, and the whole audience was in one room together. So they were on camera in one room together, and the rest of Zoom was a couple other like administrator people.
That's interesting. Do the laughs come through like that? That's no.
They took a minute to me to them.
What about like when the other comedian told a funny joke? Was that different for him? Interesting. Nope.
And he was like calling it out a bunch in a way of like, because he went first and he was like,
yeah,
this is, are you guys all right? Well, the joke there was this, and
that's like you at the North Bend Theater and me backstage, like, shut up, just tell the fucking joke. Stop. Hey, this is a new bit. You may not like. We don't know. We haven't seen your old stuff, so we don't care.
Who cares? But he was very like collegey, you know, like a little corny, a little like, you know. Some of the college stuff. I'm sure his act in the club's different, and that's great, and that's fine. And I was like, well, I don't, you know, I don't know. I'm just doing what I do, and it always does not do well in college auditions, but it's okay here, I think. And anyway, so I did well. He did fine. It was all fine. But like, they're all wearing masks, sitting next to each other. In a liberal arts college, but a liberal arts private college, I think. So there's some Christian affiliation, but we didn't know what, and you don't know, like, we don't know what they know, you know. But there was a lot of like giggling and laughing at really corny stuff. And there was a lot of giggling and laughing at like just references, but like actual misdirection didn't really get them. They were kind of like, I don't know.
Does that mean they're not following along closely, or like?
I think that they don't know how jokes work, really.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's, I'm not going to speak for all college kids.
They're just not perceptive to what to expect from the art. They're like, okay, here's a setup. I got to pay attention to this. And there's a payoff coming. Yeah, yeah.
There's just not.
Just a disconnect.
Yeah, so for them,
are they all deaf? They need a sign language interpreter?
Yes, I forgot. So they, for them, I think it's like, and they like when you kind of just tease them a little, you know, lightly, you know.
That is what that is a college version of the funny guy.
Yeah,
isn't that a Mike Birbiglia joke?
He's gay.
Look at his shirt. He's gay. I'm out of here.
He is gay.
He's gay.
That is a weird shirt. Like,
yeah, 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 yeah.
So I would say have Locked and Loaded, very soft, you know, teasing of them. This guy, literally like, this guy knows what I'm talking about kind of stuff. Oh my gosh. Ezekiel does know or whatever. All right. You know, actual, because I was trying to kind of like just do a set, and it went fine, it went well, it was good, but I can just tell, like, oh, you guys, yellow t-shirt knows what's up. Yellow t-shirt, and they are all happy and high five and leave afterwards, you know, like.
We should have asked, we ran out of time with Dustin, but he has a great college bombing story.
Ooh.
And the kids set him up for like a D's nuts joke, you know.
Okay.
And so someone was like, something something, and he's like, who? And they're like, D's. And he's like, who's D's? And they're like, D's nuts. And then he just walked off stage, I think, and he was like, I can't. There's no way I'm going to finish 20 more minutes after this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he just fucking left, I think. And he was like, hey, you know what? I don't care anymore, you know.
You don't want to pay me, whatever.
Yeah, I think some. I think that's I wonder if he's told that on a...
It'd be Friday
fun to, like,
night.
Tell the, like, bombing stories as just, like, a YouTube video. It might be fun.
It's a Friday night. So it's probably like a real like show in a venue with stage and seats and lights, you think?
Yeah, it is in a
It's not like
Oh,
a
good news. I got a
dinner hall.
exclusive crypto email. I'll be your exclusive crypto manager. Up church, the Souza Ballroom in the Up Church University Center, and I got a reserve parking space for me.
Well, well, well.
So but it's like, you know, every time I get a college gig, I don't even know what my rate is listed at, but every time they're like, "Can you do it for only 1400?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's fine. That's They're like, "No flight or anything." I'm like, "It's we'll figure
Whatever.
it out. Yeah, just whatever." That's
Whatever.
what I make at clubs and
Right.
but yeah, Kate McGill, good agent. Super. She sometimes, because she's on my website, she gets emails that are supposed to go to other people, and she responds to me and forwards them to me, and then I always go like, "How many emails are the other people getting?" You know, like if she's getting maybe some of them, do I hear about the other ones? Do they get ignored? Do they know what's going on? But.
Well, that's,
I do get some. I've gotten booked from like weird corporate stuff and weird, you know. Well, that Toyota gig that we ate shit at was originally, I think they emailed her too. I think they emailed us separately or something, and they couldn't get a hold of us. And then they were like, "Maybe if we go through the agent, it'll be less money." And I'm like, "Nope, it's gonna be more." And then
Funny.
I think they were like, "All right,
We'll just stick with our friends.
we'll go directly through you." Yeah.
Pepin. Well,
Happen
yeah, that'll be easy and fun and
should be
chill.
fine. I mean,
Merch? No merch? What do you got?
well, I didn't want to lug. I don't know. Steve used to sell t-shirts at merch gigs,
Yeah, college gigs.
mailing lists, everything, a whole setup.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not gonna lug a suitcase to sell to, you know.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, is it going to be a cafeteria? Is it going to be what, you know, like it seems
Yeah.
like a good gig from the email, but plus I'm going to visit my parents and there's a girl in New York City who's trying to get me to come bang her and
Ah.
allegedly, and then you know, maybe I'll have to cancel that to go to LA, or you know, it would be
Right.
nice to be like, "Hey, come see me do this audition," and then we'll walk to my hotel room and then
Yeah.
I can kill both of those pussies. But yeah, I didn't, br I brought like, I bring like three, the last gig I did, I brought like three shirts to just give away and be like, "Hey, here's the thing." And so I think that's, it
College
was an
kids, no
XL, whatever.
money.
I don't want to be like,
Here's a beer koozie of a joke I couldn't tell.
well, I'll tell the joke anyway, but I also just need the shirt for the joke, you know. I'm like, I need a merch pitch that takes up 4 minutes, and
Yeah, exactly.
it doesn't say like do an hour, but but anyway, so I just gonna
We're
walk
gonna
up
have
there and bring some.
four college kids open for you. Oh.
Right, I mean, like, cool, you
Go
know.
ahead. No time. Yeah.
It's like, I do a half hour. Can I just do my 5 minutes and the bounce, you know? But it should be good. You know, when I perform at colleges, it's like a scared straight program, like stay in school or you'll be a comedian someday, you know. Don't get a communications degree. And those are like opening jokes I always do
Who's the
at
school for this? Ah, quit now.
It could be fun.
Well,
Anyway.
good times. Well, have fun.
Should I
Farm
preview a
Girl.
joke or two that we'll see if it'll make it onto the next monologue here?
Oh yeah, let's see.
In Texas, you don't need vaccine passport, but you do have to show your genitals to go to the bathroom. They're banning all sorts of stuff out there. And then this is I was Googling it because we
Also have
talked
to
about
tap.
they don't give President's Day off of school, but four states give kids Fat Tuesday off of school for Mardi Gras, which counts as sex ed in the South. That's the best that they could do. Because they're banning books. They're like, "We can't have you look at a vagina unless it's on the street and you throw beads at her." That's what's going on.
Sometimes, but that Tuesday, yeah. It's hard to see the vagina. It's covered by
a bush.
In Texas, you have to show your genitals, and then you have to tap underneath the stall.
yeah. There hasn't been any politicians caught with boys in a hotel room lately. Maybe there's a COVID side effect, but
maybe it's
right around the corner.
Funny is they call it cot. Yeah, I've always thought that was a funny thing. When someone says, "Oh, we caught them having sex," and I'm like, "Oh, you just saw them, didn't you? You didn't catch them." So, but they weren't. It's okay to have sex, right?
Well, I don't think.
But people use cot. People use cot for anything from insidious to like regular old sex too. They use cot.
Right. You caught me having sex. I wasn't trying to hide it. I caught you. It was very loud, I think.
I didn't want to catch you.
Well, I wasn't really loud, but she was being annoying. But and that was just before the sex. Come on.
I was thinking this is a fun bit I'll probably do tomorrow night. I don't know how I'll do it, but like, have you guys, has anybody in the audience ever suggested to your significant other that they've had enough to drink and have that work out well?
Yeah.
Just need to know, because I don't know how to do it. Like, I think maybe you've had,
is that an issue you're trying to resolve currently? I just have had it, and then
I think it's funny to be like, I'm sure men do it too, but I just haven't dated any of them yet, so I don't know.
That I know of. Yeah, Didn't check them all.
Didn't check them all. Oh yeah, what did I used to say that with?
Been dating ladies.
Yeah, I forgot. I've only been dating ladies, I think. I didn't check them all. Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Wonder why it didn't pop up during the South, you know, those tours.
High five. I could have.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot a line on the I just started bringing it back of like, I asked the dog, "Do you know any tricks?" And the dog was like, "Help me." And I was like, I forgot about that. That's a good joke. Why did I just drop that? It didn't make it on the album. It didn't. I'm like, I just forgot that, you know, you just start telling a joke enough one way and you clip something for 50 seconds of extra time, and then all right.
Yeah, that's interesting. Funny.
That's why I like to write it all down.
I don't have very many of those, but every once in a while I go, oh yeah, that's fun. But now I have a big old document that's like crude, because I'm like about to do a cruise ship, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, what could I pull back for that? And then I got this isn't going to come up very often, but I do have like, oh, super dirty stuff that I won't tell anywhere. But if I ever do Adam Luckey's show in Austin, Texas, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'll do that thing about a baby mouse and a fucking whatever. And yeah, turkey base the bitch. And,
cunt.
And cunt. I'm out of here, you know, or whatever. And, Josh Firestein was like, man, I went and did that Adam Luckey show, and I was like the most tame person ever. Like, I thought I was being
now crazy. Are those people still, are they getting laughs? Like, that's what I'm curious is, like,
well, it's specific. Like, I went to the dirty show, the dirty at 12:30 in Vegas, and I was like, these people are animals. Like, I can't just do, I would, if I ever did this show, I couldn't just do my act. I'd have to kind of go, you know, off the rails, which maybe I don't want to do that. But yeah, if I go to Austin, I want to do his 10:30.
Right.
Freak in the Cave.
When I did Dirty at 12:30, I just did my normal kind of set. Like, I maybe threw a few extra fucks in there, but I was just like, this, I just tell jokes. I don't know what else I got. And yeah, it seemed to be fine.
Yeah, it'd be fine. I just, I'm like watching the night I watched, and it was like, they also like were itching because I think they knew Carlos Mencia was there.
They want to show off a little bit.
He was walking around, and he was,
maybe he'll steal my joke and I can get famous.
Yeah, I don't want to do anything good. I have to steal it.
All right.
But he wouldn't steal anything good, so that works out. But
I wish he, I'd happily sell some jokes. I would love to, like, sure. It'll be nice, you know, if I could just be a 15-minute road opener for Steve and farm those jokes off to other comedians for thousands of dollars, you know. The other one you keep forgetting is that flat earth, perfect flat earth, and I keep stealing that every once in a while and going, something in this joke, but.
Oh, yeah, I have it written down on the set list for tomorrow night.
All right, get it on tape and crush it, man. That's exciting, man. It's like 600 tickets already.
Yeah, basically 530. Yeah, basically 600.
That's more than we had 475 for my album taping. Sounds empty, so should be a great time.
I got sponsors and things, and they're not gonna take up all the tickets. But I was like, hey, you can have 10 or whatever. And they're like, oh, thank you, and they'll show up or whatever. And this light, so I need printing. I didn't need printing, but I was like, let me give out. I'll do a flyer. And I put a QR code on the flyer for the next show. Get your phone.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And then
like my little cards I pass out, those things I get a good hit rate on the Linktree. So,
right.
Yeah, I think if you, yeah, that's good. I hope it keeps going. I hope, hopefully, if North Bend does really well, also, I think we should talk them into being like, let's do Friday, Saturday here, back and forth. Let's figure it out. Let's at least, you know, once a quarter or whatever. But
you should check into April 16th, see if it's open at North Bend.
Well, I think we've just got to move slower with her. You know, she needs to be wined and dined and see it happen a couple times before.
That's fine, I mean,
because she was even nervous about booking you. And I'm like, look, it's going to be fine. Fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, April 15th, I have at the theater at Everett, and I was going to maybe drop it, but now I might just do it. And now that it's gone, you know, we've already sold 200 for Zoltan, and it's a month away. Andy Woodhull, Erica Rhodes, and Kelsey Cook are all open on April 15th, according to their calendars.
Oh, that's what you were doing on those websites earlier.
Yeah, that's the only reason I was there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was jerking off to Andy Woodhull's website.
Oh, God, sexy. Oh, I want to be a step parent.
if only. And anyway, so it'd be easy to book and whatever. Andy's got a 30 million view dry bar clip. So I'm like, there you go. Let's just do it. So I think I'll just, and May 6th at the theater is like basically Adam's doing that one entirely, him and Mr. D. Like they've already, they don't even need me, I don't think, but he needed the date. So he's like, I'll split it with you if I could have the date. And I was like, sure. So, and then the next one after May is like mid June. So anyway, I think I'm going to do April 15th too, is my point. And if April 16th open at North Bend or Renton or wherever.
We definitely need to get that into a run. I think that would be fun.
That guy will do anything we want to do because he was so like,
well, he's like, yeah,
so check, we'll check.
And Everett's like, hey, I'm going out of business, I don't even give a shit, just book as many gigs as you want.
Well, I'll text you to remind you about checking on April 16th that both of those places, because two nights, somebody, I mean, that's a lot of money for somebody. Anyway, if you're listening and you're a comedian, that you're probably not good enough to be booked. So don't reach out.
The cold hard truth. I listen to this episode sometimes and that applies. So
I got an email from Fox as I woke up this morning, like John Fox. And he's like, do you approve this person? And I was like, looked it up and I was like, I don't even know who that is. And because they had said that they got his email from me. And I did some like digging and I was like, oh, I saw them at a festival 4 years ago, do 10 minutes. So no, but they hadn't written like, they didn't.
Sounds like just a perfect John Fox headliner actually. So
they didn't write like Corey recommended me. They just wrote, I got your email from Corey. So I was like, you're both putting me in a bad spot.
Yeah.
You're putting me in a bad spot by telling him. I told you not to tell him. And you're putting me in a bad spot by suggesting.
John Fox doesn't even book me. I don't know.
You recommend? Yeah, exactly.
These are my recommendations now.
He's like, I'll trust Corey's recs, but not his act.
Well, I mean, Corey's got a good eye for talent.
All right, everybody. That was a little bonus D's Nuts and Zoltan Cass has just sold another ticket. We'll be back March 8th ish with a new episode and a guest, and you'll hear us then. Bye, everybody.